I'm Holly.
And I'm Bridget.
And this
is Girls Next Level.
Welcome back to Girls Next Level podcast, everybody. Bridget is getting ready to leave for her trip. I'm getting ready to go to a Halloween event, so I'm no makeup yet.
What kind of Halloween event?
The one I invited you to that you couldn't go to, the opening of the Universal Horror thing in Vegas.
Oh, that's right. I'm so bummed.
Yeah, I'm going for a vampire princess tonight. You know what's funny is I have to go back because I'm like 2 weeks post-op on my jaw surgery. And because I had my earlobes fixed, I have to get my ears re-pierced next week.
Oh my God, what a weird thing.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah. You have to tell me like if it hurts or if it doesn't hurt or whatever, because like I always wonder, like I got most of my piercings when I was so young, mm-hmm. especially my ear piercings, that I always wonder, like, did it really hurt bad or was it like, because I don't really remember. I remember it hurting.
Yeah, I remember, I mean, back when I got them done, it was when they were still using the ear piercing gun. And yes. I remember the first one is just so fast and shocking. You don't think anything of it. But because you're prepared for the second one kind of hurts worse. But I'm going to add, I mean, since it's a plastic surgeon's, I'm thinking, can't they just inject me with some painkiller in the lobe?
Oh, yeah, they totally could. But that so probably hurts just as bad as the injection. So the other day I had that appointment with that doctor I was telling you about that I was going to go to for like skin tightening on the legs.
Oh, are you going to do it?
I don't think so.
Why? Is it scammy?
I don't know. I don't know if it's scammy, but like it was weird and I felt very uncomfortable. And luckily Ashley came with me so she can mm-hmm. testify and we were able to talk about it all the way home and like talk through it. So I don't think I'm just crazy. But we get there and they have me come in the office, the room, and I bring Ashley with me. And then a girl comes in and she goes, okay, so we're going to start out with some photos. And I was like, photos? So already I'm kind of like, wait, what? Because I get before and after photos are super mm-hmm. important and I do want those. But once I agree that I'm going to do a treatment, right now this is just a consultation. I just want to know if I'm even if what I have is even a candidate for what she's got, you know? Yeah. So like, I just want to talk to her right now. And so I don't really want to take photos unless I know I'm going to do this. And so she's like, oh, it's just, you know, we do this every time and everything. And I'm like, no, I get it. So I don't want to be an asshole. So I'm like, all right, I'll just get up and take these pictures, even though I don't want to. And I think it's premature to do this. And then she starts with my face. I'm there for my legs, like only, like that's all I put on the thing.
Yeah.
And she's doing like all these different, and I'm like, why are we doing my face? And she goes, it's just standard. We do it with everybody. And she's doing like three quarter and to the side and looking down and over here. And I'm thinking, I'm not doing a face procedure though.
Yeah.
Like, why do you have all these? And it's the ugly overhead fluorescent lighting.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, why are we doing all these ugly, like, I don't even want you guys to have these ugly photos of me. And then she takes, I was like, I thought we're just here for my legs. And she was like, oh, we're going to do, don't worry, we're getting to that too. So then she like takes the pictures of my legs. Okay. So then I sit back down and she leaves and I look at Ashley and I was just like, I wasn't expecting to do all that. Yeah. And she was like, no, I know. Like, why do they need pictures of your face? And I'm like, I don't know. She goes, and then we were like, I understand if they just wanted like one picture, like front on mm-hmm. my face to have for my folder. So they remember who I am.
Yeah.
But like not all these profile pictures, like I'm getting a full face thing done or something. And so then the doctor comes in and she doesn't say anything. She doesn't introduce herself. She just walks in and like has a smile on her, smirk on her face and is staring at us. And so I felt really uncomfortable and weird. And I was like, hi, I'm Bridget. And this is my friend Ashley. And she's like, hi, nice to meet you. And she like shakes my hand and stuff. And she's like looking me over and I'm feeling super uncomfortable. And she's like, so what are we here for today? And then I'm like, okay, so I saw on Instagram that you did this like skin tightening laser on these arms. And I was wondering if that would work for my legs. And she's like, let's see your legs. And I showed her my legs and she goes, I said, I just have like loose skin. And she's like, yeah, from aging. And I was like,
oh my God.
Well, Yes, and probably sun. And I mean, I don't know what all causes that to happen, but I would assume it, part of it's sun damage and probably aging. Yes. And like, but she like, I felt like she really wanted to get that little stab in there that I'm
doing.
I don't know. I could be wrong, but that's what it felt like. And, I was like, okay, yeah. And then she's like, okay, so we would do microneedling and we would do, Sculpta in your legs. And then we would do, and I said, oh, not the laser. She's like, well, not the laser that you saw, but a different laser. We would do this other laser. And I was like, okay. And she's like, yeah. And I was like, okay, so easy. Because she just like stared at me like, okay.
Yeah.
And that's it. And then she's like, and then she points to my chest and she goes, and we can do that too. 100 units of Botox in an upside down, V or upside down triangle. And I was like, oh, well, you know, if the laser like was really good on my legs and stuff, I was going to probably like look at other things that could have skin tightening, like my chest or my hands or whatever, you know? And she goes, and she points to like a brown dot on my leg, like one of those sunspots or whatever. She goes, we can get rid of that. And then she like points to one on my arm. She goes, and oh, you know what? We need to do these arms too, the laser on these arms and get rid of that. And she points to like the sunspot thing that I have on my arm.
Oh my God.
Like they were so gross to her. She's like, we'll get rid of that. And
oh my God.
And we'll do these arms. And I was like, okay. Yeah. And I'm starting to like freak out a little bit because I'm like, oh my God, I need all this stuff. Like, I know I need those things, but like when somebody's sitting there telling you and you just went in for one thing.
Well, first of all, nobody needs those things. And I have a bad feeling about any plastic surgeon who suggests anything you're not asking for. Like, it would be different if you had an issue you wanted to address and you said, oh, I'm thinking about this. And they go, okay, you know, but that procedure won't really help that. What would be better for that is if we did this. That's a different thing. When somebody starts pointing at other parts of your body, absolutely not done.
Well, it gets worse. It gets worse. What? Yes. Because
I'm already traumatized on your behalf.
I know. Because then I was like, okay, so, and then she goes, but you know what you really need to do? And I was like, and she hands me a mirror. And she shoves it in my hand. And I was like, and I told her, oh, I don't want to even know. Like, I don't even want to begin with what you think I need to do on my face. And she shoves the thing in my heart. She goes, now put your head down, all the way down, like this, chin touching your chest. Now look up.
This is like black in the mirror.
Yeah. And look up into the mirror. And so she has me looking down like this and then looking up into the mirror. And
it's got the ugly,
the ugly fluorescent lighting overhead. And she's like, see this? And she's like pressing underneath my eyes. She goes, you need filler. You need two tubes of filler. You need it in the trough and you need it under the eye right here. And then Ashley goes, could I ask a question? And she just ignores Ashley. Like she didn't say anything.
Ashley.
And she keeps telling me how I need this and that it's going to do this or whatever. And I was like, I'm like, I do not do filler. I'm scared to death of filler. I feel like filler makes people look weird. I heard horror stories about filler. Like, I don't want filler. And then I said, Ashley, what were you going to say? And Ashley's like, I've had that before. And I was told that you should never get filler under your eye anymore, that it's like an old school thing. And that it's, and she's like, and I had to go in and have it broken up and, or like whatever they do, like taken out, you know? And
I did it too. I had under eye filler and it was awful and I got it dissolved.
Yeah, dissolved. That's the word. And she's like, I had to have it dissolved and it was terrible and it was a really bad experience. And I don't want her to have to go through that. So like, I feel like the word on the street now is like, you don't do it under the eye, under any circumstances. And then she proceeds to tell us that it's because nobody can do it like she can. And that has a special method where she does it. And she's the only one that can do it. And don't judge under her eyes because she can't do her own and nobody else can do what she can do. And so, you know, and I'm like, I'm just like so scared and I couldn't wait to get out of there. And then she's like, okay, so let's start today. We can do that today. Do your legs today. Do the Botox here today. We can do the arms today. We can do the filler today. You let me know. She's like, I'll have somebody come in with the price sheet and we'll go from there. And I'm like, okay. And then she walks out. By the way, she is wearing like stiletto boots, dripping in Chanel jewelry.
Oh my God. First of all, Botox in the chest isn't going to do anything. What is it doing? Freezing your pecs?
Well, that's what I said. I said, what would that do though for my skin? She said, oh, it would tighten it. I'm thinking, how does that tighten the skin in here?
Yeah, I thought the whole point of Botox is it like freezes the muscle so you're not moving your skin.
She acts like it's
but
like
it's the boobs moving the skin, like when you're asleep.
Right. And then it does that. And then it creates that. And then especially if you sleep on your, I'm trying not to sleep on my side, but when you sleep on your side, then their boobs squish together and it squishes all the skin here. And then it starts to look old and ugly. But I do want to do something about that eventually. Like I would love to do like laser or CO2 or whatever it is that fixes that. But I don't see how an upside down triangle of Botox helps that, except for she said 100 units of Botox in an upside. And I'm thinking 100 units.
Yeah.
Damn. Okay. And so then the lady comes in with the prices and to do everything. If I were going to do everything she said, that is all the things on my legs, the things on my arms, the chest, and the filler under the eyes, it would have been like 19,000, a little over, almost 20 grand.
Oh my
God. And then the girl goes, so are we starting today? Should I like start numbing you up? Because you'll definitely need numbing on your legs and you'll need numbing for your arms. And I was like, you know,
you walk out of there like a windy man.
Yeah. I was like, I'm leaving for Italy on, and she told me that the legs would take like a 6-week recovery time.
What the fuck?
To be fully like recovered. And then I was like, you know, and I just used this as an excuse, but it was a good excuse. And honestly, even if I wanted to do everything that day, I probably couldn't have done it anyway. Cause I was like, I'm leaving for Italy on Saturday. I just don't think this is a good time for me to do anything right now. Like I just kind of wanted to see if there was something we could do. And now I know. And I think I just have to wait until we get back. Cause I don't want to risk bruising or like, you know, weird marks all over my body when I want to be in a bathing suit and running around Italy. So they were like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, just give us a call and get back and we'll get all this booked. And I was like, okay. Ashley and I could not get out of there fast enough. I think we were laughing before we ran out the door.
I'm horrified.
We were horrified. We got in the car and we were both like, what the fuck was that?
Oh my God, that's like a traumatic experience.
I just feel so ugly.
Like
in need of tens of thousands of dollars of procedures suddenly. And
that's what she wanted you to feel like. And I feel like I guarantee you any of those procedures she was suggesting, it would have been like that hand rejuvenation I got that did nothing for me. Like some people work the system because they know that, you know, you sign your life away saying that if the results aren't exactly what you want, you can't like sue or they know it's the kind of thing where like, well, you need like 6 months of laser, or they keep like dangling that carrot and people just keep chasing it and spending so much money. And half the time the shit doesn't work.
Well, and she also said, oh, and these treatments aren't necessarily one and done. Like you'll have to come back and repeat these.
Yeah, I don't like it. It's a scam for like trophy wives who just have too much money to spend.
Yes. And then on the way back, we were just like talking about how ugly we feel. Oh, because then she went over to Ashley and she was like, and you need, she's different doing stuff. You should do this too. And you shouldn't have this and you should do that. And Ashley's like, oh my God.
I'm going to go up to her and tell her what I think she needs from a former Playmate editor.
Yes. Yes. Because I mean, she was definitely did not like look perfect. Like I wasn't like, oh my God, but she looks so amazing.
Yeah.
She obviously knows, you know, she's not ugly. She doesn't look bad. There's nothing. And I'm not somebody who's good at like judging treatments or what people have had done or anything like that. So I'm like the last one to know, but I was like, I mean, there were still crow's feet and there were still, you know what I mean? There were things that I'm like, okay, so I mean, we're just getting older. Like there are things like that. So
that's horrible.
I'm not trying to fix everything. I'm not trying to look 20 or anything like that. But like if I can fix crepey or, you know, loose skin or whatever, I want to do that. I want to try and, you know, keep it tight as long as I can.
I'm trying to look 20. Just kidding.
I mean, if I can, I can. But I don't have those unrealistic expectations.
Yeah.
That that's what I'm going to look like anyway. Not that I don't want to look like that if somebody can make me look like that, but I'm not trying for that. Anyway,
stop falling for that stuff. Like, especially if you don't have the money to spend, but even people who do have the money to throw away, I hope they stop falling for that, because I feel like it's such a cycle of like lame procedures that don't work. And the people who have all this extra money to spend and don't give a shit are just funding this ridiculousness.
So we had a good laugh all the way home, though.
I'm glad you could laugh about it, because I might not have come out of there so jolly.
You know what? I think if I didn't have somebody with me that wasn't also going, that was ridiculous.
Yeah.
I would have walked out of there probably crying. Ashley
was there. Yeah.
Yeah. Otherwise, I would have walked out crying and probably like been like shooken up to drive home.
Well, fuck that lady.
And I keep getting these emails like, please rate your you know, thing. Where I'm like, you don't want me to rate this. Delete. I keep deleting them. I'm like, seriously, stop sending these.
So should we get into talking about a Go West Young Girl Part 2?
Yes.
We all have bad habits, whether it's something as innocent as biting your nails to something way more unhealthy, like vaping. My personal bad habit is I do stress eating and I go for the most unhealthy cookies, cakes, like all the stuff I don't want to eat. But if you're ready to break a bad habit, the first step doesn't need to be hard or expensive. You just need the right tool to start. And that's exactly what Fume Zero gives you. This episode is sponsored by Fume Zero, the brand new grab-and-go flavored air device from Fume. It's affordable. It's just $24.99. It's completely clean. There is zero nicotine, zero vapor, just natural plant-based flavored air. It's the first truly easy way to try the good habit. With 6 bold flavors and over 10 days of use, Zero makes it simple to start. I got my Fume Zero. It's really nice looking. We love the aesthetic. And it's fidget friendly by design. It also has a chewable tip. If you have any kind of oral fixation, that can be really satisfying. But you know what I love the most are the flavors. They have so many good flavors. My favorites are the peach, and there's a cinnamon flavor that tastes just like those cinnamon candies. I love it so much. Take zero chances with Fume Zero today, available for just $24.99 USD. Just head to tryfume.com. That's TRYFUM.com to start with Zero.
Welcome back to Girls Next Level Podcast. We are back to continue talking about Go West, Young Girl.
Yes. Was the full title Go West, Young Girl?
Yeah.
Oh, it was? I thought it was just Go West. And Go I was West. Thinking, why didn't they finish the title? It should be Go West, Young Girl. That makes more sense.
So we are starting the scene going to Saddle Ranch, which was one of our favorite places to go back then.
Oh, can I just tell you, even before I was at the mansion, anytime I would go to LA, Saddle Ranch was my go-to place.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even with my ex, we would go to like Saddle Ranch.
Yeah.
They have the best cocktails too. Like they come in like these like—
A carafe.
A carafe. And they're really good. I don't even remember what they were now. I know I talk about one of them in the commentary in this episode, but they were like so good.
Yeah. And I don't remember what my go-to was there or what I used to eat or anything, but it would be like these giant platters of like, they were huge portions, like fried chicken and hamburgers
ribs.
And ribs were a big one.
Oh, I remember one time we got these giant crab legs even for the table.
It's good stuff.
It's really good. It's just a fun atmosphere too.
Yeah.
Or at least it used to be. I have to say, I have not been in 100 years.
I haven't been in so long either. Like Saddle Ranch went through a renaissance, like right around COVID when things started opening up, like all the influencers would go there and stuff, which I thought was funny because back in our day, it was like a popular restaurant, but it wasn't like a place celebrities would go.
No.
An exception.
Yeah. And he only went because we wanted to go.
Yeah.
Do you remember we went to where the Playboy, we went to where Mark Rossler's office was, where the Playboy offices and stuff used to be. And he took us down to somebody else's like whole level. And it was the owner of the Saddle Ranch. He's like, here, let me show you his place. And you guys, it was like done. First of all, it wasn't just an office. This was done up like a home. Like there was a dining room and a kitchen and a workness. Yeah. Workness room, a workout room and everything. But it was all done like medieval castle.
It was as themed as Saddle Ranch was. Like Saddle Ranch was Western.
Or more.
And this was like medieval. And I love how they made the gym the torture chamber.
Me too. I secretly want to do that. And
that's so funny.
I asked Mark like what happened to that building. And I guess it's not, or not the building, but that floor and stuff. I guess it's not there anymore. But like, what do they do with all that stuff? When I know. Give it to me.
Yeah. And whoever bought it probably did not appreciate. They're probably like, ooh, we have to gut this.
I know. That's like my dream.
It was so fun.
It was good.
Yeah.
And like you guys, every detail mm-hmm. was so amazing. Yeah. And I remember torture chamber and I was like, I'm going to have a torture chamber one day too.
You know what's crazy about this building? It's this big high rise on Sunset and Alta Loma. And Playboy had their first West Coast offices there, and Hef like had the penthouse, and that's where he lived before he bought the mansion. But I think there's even a picture of Hef like breaking ground on that spot, like with a shovel.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like he didn't own the building, I don't think, but maybe he was there to like break ground if Playboy was like buying the top floor or something. I don't really know the backstory behind it, but crazy.
And was there a Playboy club in that building too?
That would make sense. Oh, I'm not getting an AI answer. Oh yeah. So the original Los Angeles location of the Playboy club was on the southeast corner of Sunset and Alta Loma from 1964 to 1972. That's a long time.
Long time. It's interesting. And it's interesting then that was Mark Rossler's building. And it's interesting that we went there and then we saw that other floor. And that floor has just stuck with me for so long.
Oh, yeah. The gym torture chamber definitely made an impression.
Yeah. That whole place made an impression. I just thought, wow. Because I love going all out like that on a theme. And so the fact that somebody did that.
Did you know Zach used to have a sex dungeon? Like before I was dating him, like in his other house.
I am not surprised, but I'm grossed out. I am grossed out. Okay, but here we are at Saddle Ranch.
Yeah.
And so that we're at the mansion and you're introducing Hef to all the new girls. Some of them he already met, but like, and then this is the first time we see Kendra.
We're 9 minutes in. In commentary, she said she had just got done doing Celebrity Rap Superstar at the time, which was something she was doing. Do we ever cover that on the show?
I don't know.
Maybe not, because it was MTV and maybe E like didn't want to promote it. But she was doing this contest show on MTV where they would pair a celebrity up with a rapper and then you'd like have a contest to see who could be the best rapper.
Mm-hmm.
And they like made a whole song for her and stuff. But I guess this was happening around that time.
I'm going to tell you what, I would have been really good on that show. I'm not kidding. Like, really? I know so many. You're like, really? I know it doesn't seem like it, but I know like all the words to rap songs.
Oh, was that what they had to do? Was like rap existing songs?
I think so.
Oh, I just remember at one point they had to do an original song. Yeah, I remember because one time Kendra did like a Ludacris song or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like Perez Hilton was in it and he wore a Hef robe.
I remember we would go and watch the.
Yeah, I went one time. It was the time Perez wore the robe.
I feel like I went more than once. Is that possible?
Maybe. I think I went the one time Hef went.
Yeah, I feel like I went a couple of times, maybe with just some of the girls or something to cheer her on.
Who won that? Was it that lady who was married to Kevin Federline? Was she the one who won?
Char Jackson.
Yeah, I think that's who that was.
Beating out runner-up Kendra Wilkinson.
Oh.
So she got far.
That's good.
And she had been previously married to Kevin Federline, so that's a good memory.
So I put in my notes, because it's 9 minutes in until we've seen Kendra, and I'm like, damn, we're really testing this formula, huh? Like the show about the studio girls.
Yeah. And let's see. So the lineup for Saddle Ranch is Juliana, Janine, Lindsay, Regina, Kendra, you, Angel, Valerie, and Melanie.
Yes, a lot of us. And as we walk into Saddle Ranch, you can see I'm chewing gum, which I think we should address like Hef's gum chewing rule.
Wait, what?
Well, there wasn't really a rule, but it got a lot of attention because Kendra said that in an interview once that like, we're not allowed to chew gum.
Were we not? I don't recall ever being told not to chew gum.
We weren't not allowed to chew gum, but he didn't like it when girls chewed gum on the red carpet, which to me, that makes sense.
It makes sense, yeah.
Because it looks kind of trashy if there's a line of girls that people already think are trashy because we're in Playboy and you're sitting there going. Like yeah. that makes sense. But it wasn't like a rule, like we couldn't chew gum. And I think when Kendra said that in the interview, people got this idea that that was like one of our weird rules, like 9 o'clock curfew, no red lipstick, and they can't chew gum. And that wasn't really a rule.
Wait, I didn't even remember her saying that. I don't think I have it in my notes.
No, she doesn't say it in this show. She says it like later in life in like an interview or something.
Oh, so an interview, they kind of have Kendra building up like what this is and what mm-hmm. Saddle Ranch is. And they say, she says, the night before the girls tested, we went out to a place called Saddle Ranch. And it's really fun, like rodeo, ride the bull place. So we took them there to try to get to know them a little better and to get their attitude and personality. And I feel like that's kind of setting up what's about to happen uh-huh. here.
And you can see Hef's giant Mai Tai, the carafe.
Yes. And you guys all cheers to the new playmates. And that's when I say the drinks there are so good. And I say, and in commentary, I say the Alabama Slammer. That's the one to get.
What's in that?
I don't even remember. Oh. I could probably look it up, but.
So they have a big rodeo bull, a mechanical bull that you can ride in there. Angel volunteers to ride the bull. Melanie says she does not want to be acting a fool riding the bull. Angel was in a dress, but some guy decided to like drop trow yes. and donate his giant jeans so she could put them on to ride the bull. So
that's
random.
Crazy. So he's just walking around in his underwear?
I guess so. I don't remember him specifically, but
I just looked up the Alabama Slammer. It's a sweet, fruity cocktail made with amaretto, sloe gin, southern comfort, and orange juice. And it's often served as a shot. Or in this case, a carafe.
I love how it's served as a shot and Saddle Ranch is like, hold my beer. I'm getting a carafe.
Yeah, it says 1 ounce of amaretto, 1 ounce of sloe gin, 1 ounce of southern comfort, orange juice, and an orange slice or maraschino cherry for garnish. Yum.
So Angel's in these giant jeans and Hef goes, that girl's lost a lot of weight. And she's riding the bull, and the bull does this funny, like, vibrating thing at the end. Oh, and she's, like, cracking up.
It's a thing Saddle Ranch used to do to shake the boobs.
Oh, that is so funny. Mm-hmm. Is that a typical mechanical bull thing?
They do that when girls are on it, yes. Not that I ride the bull so often, but I have
are
done it.
Are you versed in mechanical bull lore?
No, but I have done it a couple of times, and yeah. I have watched them do it to other people. And I've even seen it, I don't even know what I'm thinking of, what movie it is, but I've even seen it in movies where, I like, at the end, they'll, like, shake the girl that's on it so to funny. Get her boobs to jiggle. In commentary, you say, what is cool about Angel is that she's up for anything, especially dares. And then I say, ew, remember the onion?
Yeah, we dared her to eat a raw onion when we went to Chicago later in season 5. And she was a sport.
And then Kendra's grossing out about her putting on some guy's pants. She's like,
oh, yeah, the commentary is going crazy.
Yeah, in commentary, Kendra's like, ew, you know he had sweaty balls in those pants. And I'm like, yeah, you know there was.
And then Kendra's like, skid marks. Yeah. She's getting skid marks up her ass.
Yes. Gross.
We're just on one in the commentary. But I put in my notes, imagine just riding the bull and owning it and everyone loves you for it instead of riding the bull and then making up a story that people drugged your drinks. You feel so stupid about it.
Right.
For those who don't know, a mean girl did that to us once. She yes. told Hef we drugged her drink, which obviously we did not do.
Yeah.
Loser.
Totally weird.
Fuck you, bitch. Never getting forgiven for that one.
No, never.
And she's still crazy to this day.
Absolutely.
Like we've seen evidence.
In an interview, Kendra says, Angel going up there and riding the bull with a skirt on definitely told me a lot about her personality. And then in an interview, you say Angel was the only one who rode the bull. She's the type of girl that when she's around, anything can happen. I love having those type of people around. They spice up my life.
I really do. Although sometimes I've picked a few bad apples. That's nobody true. In this episode, but sometimes my love for entertainment steers me wrong.
So then we are... back at the studio, the girls are getting ready, hair, makeup, getting dressed.
And you can see already with Sarah's makeup how different everybody looks. Not like crazy different, but you can just see what a glow up it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Spencer's talking to Angel while she's in hair and makeup and asks her if she's ready. And she says, I'm nervous. And Spencer asks why. And Angel says she hates her boobs because they are so small.
And Spencer's so cute. She's like, girl, small boobs are in. Yeah. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Spencer, who's like, boobs are out to here. Girl, small boobs are in. What are you talking about? But I loved Spencer's personality, just how she was with the girls and stuff. And she has a little chihuahua with her that day. And in commentary, I said her dog kept shitting on everyone and yeah. everything.
In commentary, too, you say that you got yelled at by Hef for Angel's shoot, saying that you needed a full standing nude.
Yeah, because what we're trying to accomplish in the test is take pictures like we would if that girl was shooting for Playmate, just like the most flattering poses, blah, blah, blah. And then Hef had some kind of issue with Angel's boobs. And then he got mad at me and yelled at me because we didn't take like a plain standing nude shot, which is weird because there was never any requirements on what we were supposed to shoot for a test. Like we try to get like all angles of the girl's body and everything like you would get for a Playmate pictorial, but there was never any, oh, you have to get this pose and you have to get this pose. But all of a sudden it was an issue and he starts yelling at me about it. And it's like, even though things in 2007 were pretty good with our relationship, like reliving some of this, I'm starting to see, okay, he's already going to cranky town.
Am I crazy? I did not see anything wrong with Angel's boobs. Do you think that Hef wanted a standing photo, standing nude photo to see how like the boobs hang when you're standing? Like what they look like if you were just standing there for some reason?
I think so. But in every centerfold shoot, we're going to do poses and garment placement and things to be as flattering as possible. So we would never take a picture in a test that we know, oh, this isn't flattering. Let's show them this ugly picture. You know what I mean? We would just never do that. So, but we got like all angles of her body, you know? So it was just him being fucking weird.
Has Angel gotten a boob job since?
She has, but it was after she had her son. Mm. So she felt like she wanted like a lift.
Yeah.
And I bought her the boob job because this is during like Holly's World. She was like saving money for a boob job. And then it was like her 21st birthday. So I hosted a party at Tao, but it was for her birthday. So I gave her the money from hosting that to get a boob job.
Oh my God.
And we covered it on the show and stuff.
Oh, I didn't even know. Or if I knew at the time, I forgot.
Yeah. It's ironic. Like I bought her a boob job because she already wanted one. Like I wasn't telling her you should get a boob job. But it was weird like how things panned out with Angel because, spoiler alert, you guys already know, like she doesn't end up getting Playmate off of this, but Hef was telling me we were going over pictures in our room one day and he was like, you know, because everybody really liked Angel, everybody from Hef to me to Stephanie at the studio, the photographers, everybody really wanted her to be a Playmate. She was so pretty and so fun. And Hef was like, you know, like we could pay for her to get her breasts done. And then if she tests again and doesn't make Playmate, we'll pay for the boob job. And he was like, all determined that was how it's going to go. And I'm like, you can't do that. That's like not ethical. Like you can't take a girl who came to test and be like, you know what? If you want to get this, you need to get your boobs done. So we'll pay for your surgery. And then if you don't make it, oh, wait. Not even. Let me start that again because it's not even pay for the surgery. You should get your boobs done. So go get the surgery if you want to get this and test again. And if you don't make it, we'll reimburse you for the surgery. Like that's just not, like I was always really sensitive to like the criticism Playboy would get for like unrealistic body standards and, you know, being fake and plastic and retouched. And you just can't tell a girl who tests, like you need to get that done if you want to get it. And we're only reimbursing you if you don't get it. So what they get paid for Playmate, they're out the cost of the surgery. And it would be different too if it was somebody who wanted Playmate so bad that they're just like desperate for the feedback. Please tell me, what would I need to change? You know, like somebody like me might do that, you know, who's like really after it. And it would be one thing to like, okay, well, if you really want to know, this is why you didn't get it. But it wasn't like that. Like he wanted to say, hey, you should get your boobs. Like, no. That just like was not ethical to me. I'm like, you can't do that.
Yeah, because she wasn't asking for that.
No.
Yeah.
And there was a time later on down the road where we approached her again because I was like, you know what? Like with poses and stuff, like we can make it work. But then she didn't want to do it. And I think a lot of her not wanting to do it was she was in that bad relationship with a guy who was super possessive and didn't even want her coming back to be on the show.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of weird back and forth.
It's interesting, too, because, you know, Playboy touts itself as looking for the girl next door. Mm-hmm. And like, I always thought like they wanted all natural. Like I knew there were people that had fake boobs. Yeah. And nothing wrong with that. But I always thought that the dream would be to find somebody who was all natural to, you know what I mean? Like that's what they would prefer, but it isn't. It isn't necessarily what they prefer.
Yeah. That's what I felt when I was in charge is that like, obviously I have plastic surgery. I love plastic surgery. Yeah. I don't think there's anything wrong with it, but I knew the reputation that Playboy had. So to me, it was important to try and feature as many all natural girls. Like obviously they had to meet what the beauty standard was. And also we wanted a variety. So you had to meet all that first, but it was a bonus to me if somebody was all natural. Like I always talk about Patrice being the perfect playmate. And one of the reasons is she was all natural, you know?
Yeah.
Like I just felt like that's what the readers wanted to see. I felt like it kind of spit in the face of like Playboy's reputation for only having like fake plastic girls. Mm-hmm. So I always made a point of like trying to make sure at least half the women every year were all natural.
Oh, wow.
And that's how it was for my term.
Yeah. Well, I thought Angel looked amazing.
She looks so good. Like her face is just killing me in all these pictures. Yeah. She's so pretty.
In interview, you say first impressions and personality are very important when considering a girl for Playmate, but it really has no bearing on how they are going to photograph. So the day of the test is the moment of truth.
Yeah. And it's funny because when Angel gets in front of the camera, Steve takes a shot and goes, that's what we need. Something that looks like you're really scared. And I was thinking, poor Steve, because... And it would, I mean, sometimes we wouldn't even know this about a girl until after she tested. But like when I would assign the girls between Arnie and Steve, like it was kind of a known thing. Even before I worked there, it was kind of a known thing that Arnie did really well with like the more inexperienced models who really had to be told how to pose and how to do things. And Steve worked a lot better with girls who kind of knew what they were doing and knew how to move around and he could give them direction that way. And I just gave him the two like... Angel and Valerie had like never done anything like this before. And they're both like nervous. And like, I remember Valerie in her first shoot at that test being like super, super stiff. And you can see Steve is just dying in this episode.
Yeah.
Poor guy.
You know what? We're talking about Angels, but really Melanie went first.
Mm-hmm. She's with Arnie, right?
Yeah. And she says, I wasn't scared about shooting because I've done so many photo shoots. It's just a matter of actually being naked, like in front of people mm-hmm. and stuff. And then Arnie asks her if she's ever done nudes before and asks her if she's nervous. And she says, yeah. And Arnie says, we'll take care of you. Don't worry. And it shows Melanie doing her test. And in an interview later, Melanie says, the credibility for Playboy is just so much better than everything else. I would never do anything else but this. I would never do anything else but this. I haven't even told anybody because this is a test. So I don't even know if I'm going to actually be in the magazine. So I didn't want to tell a lot of people.
That's true. That's how it was. Like Playboy was the type of magazine, like if you were going to toe dip and do nudes, you'd do that one. But everything else seemed scary. Like no other magazine seemed good or like anything you'd want to do, I feel like.
Yeah, for sure. Like when I wanted to do it, like it was only Playboy.
Yeah, like I didn't have like a seething need to just be naked in front of the world. It's right. Like I wanted to do that specifically because I like the style of it and like what it could be as a stepping stone.
Yeah, totally. And it's interesting. She's like, I didn't tell everybody, but she's on the show too.
Oh, and we're kind of like poking fun at that in the commentary. Like, we didn't tell anybody, but you're going to be on the show.
Yeah.
But I get it. Like, she didn't need to tell anybody until right before it airs, I guess.
Yeah. So then, and then they switch over to Angel and she's testing. And
Sarah hands her two cold cans of Diet Coke to try and make her nipples hard to like make her boobs like more, I don't know, perky or whatever. And I'm just like, I write in my comments like tricks of the trade.
Right.
And Angel's like, I hope my dad doesn't see this. Sorry, mom.
But she says something interesting, too. She says, you know, you have the little devil and the little angel. And the angel says you need to be shy and a good girl. And the devil is like, man, Angel, just do this and have fun with it.
Yeah.
But I feel like women are walking that line every single day, like every moment, like.
With every choice you make, I feel like, and this probably isn't even woman specific, but I feel like even talking online or on a podcast, it's like you have to think, I know how people are going to react to what I'm going to say. I know half the people aren't going to like it. I know this is going to go this way. It's
And in commentary, you say Angel was my favorite and she never ended up doing it. And Kendra asks why. And then that's when you say, well, Hef didn't want her at first and then she didn't want to do it. And it was just back and forth.
Yeah, it was very like opposite tides turning.
And Spencer's there trying to make everybody feel comfortable.
And then it's Valerie's turn. Steve's having a really hard time getting her to pose. And she's kind of leaning forward and he's like telling her like, okay, rub your hands like up and down your legs. And then Hef, I guess, when he saw the first rough cut of this, was like freaking out saying, why is he having her rub her hands down her legs? Like that looks so, that's stupid. And we're talking about it in commentary and Kendra goes, like he knows, Hef thinks he knows everything.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because that's also one of the poses that they had me do when I tested. Uh-huh. And like, they want you to like, just be like, kind of like all sensual and like,
yeah,
like kind of slowly pulling your hands up your body and down your body and stuff, or like pulling on the panties a little bit, yeah, like that kind of thing.
And it's just kind of more than anything, just giving you somewhere to put your hands. Cause otherwise, what are you doing? You know, standing there with your arms out. And then I think I talk about this more later in the episode, but as I'm looking at Valerie as she's testing, like I can already see things that would kind of need to be tweaked if she was going to do a centerfold. Like sometimes a girl would just be like good to go with her test, but sometimes I would see potential, but like a few things would need to be changed, like makeover style. But ironically or counterintuitively, usually the things I would have changed would be things that would make them like revert back to more natural. Mm-hmm. Like I would never look at somebody and be like, you know what? You need to bleach out your brown hair and cut layers. Like nothing like that. It would usually be like somebody had natural brown hair, but like their highlights looked really bad. So like, let's go all brown. Or a lot of times there would be like dental work involved. There was this great dentist who would do all their teeth for free just to say he did the Playmates teeth, which was so awesome because we definitely didn't have it in the budget to like pay for everybody's teeth, but they would like fix people's teeth. And
I know there's hair extensions.
Sometimes I wouldn't really tell girls. I mean, definitely wouldn't tell girls to get extensions. It would always be something like Sarah would have for them. But even that was pretty rare. To add that, it would usually be something that would like revert the girl back to like more natural. Like in Valerie's case, it was like stop it with a spray tan. Cause like back then spray tans looked really orange, and take out the colored contacts. Cause colored contacts, if they were over a dark brown eye, looked so bad in photos. Like there was a centerfold from like a year or so before I moved into the mansion where the girl had colored contacts. And I was always shocked they left that in there. Cause it didn't look convincing. It didn't look like her eyes were hazel. It looked like she had all these little pixelate, like you could see the contact lens.
Yeah.
So much. And I'm like, that does not look good. Like nothing wrong with wearing colored contacts, but like in a still photo, it doesn't create the same impression as like, I mean, I've wore colored contacts before, but like in a still photo, it just looks weird.
I think it's interesting the way this is shot too, because I'm trying to watch it pretending I don't know like who gets it or whatever. And I feel like they're really building it up to where Valerie just is too nervous, too stiff. Steve's frustrated with her.
Mm-hmm.
Angel looks like the favorite one that people love. And like they're just like love her personality and she looks amazing and stuff. Maybe she's like a little green or whatever. Yeah. But like she and looks like Melanie's like really the one who kind of like comes in and is ready to go a little bit more and stuff. And then we haven't even gotten to Kayla yet, but I feel like they really push that Kayla's going to get it. Like, I feel like at the end, we're kind of going like, we know who won.
Yeah.
And then it takes us for a whole loop. Like, I feel like I was like shocked, but I wasn't shocked, but I was shocked that when I found out who got it.
Yeah, it's interesting too, because at the end, we don't really say why the winner gets picked.
Right.
Which I think it would have been interesting to break it down. And maybe we didn't just because I didn't like want to be insulting to anybody else. Maybe. I don't know. But there's not really a breakdown of why did this girl work out so well.
Yeah. I mean, in an interview, you say Valerie had the hardest time out of all the models. Steve had some advice. He told her to pretend to know what you're doing, because any sort of question on your face is just going to show up in the pictures, which I think is interesting advice.
Totally.
Yeah.
So the next thing we know is Kendra's hip hop music is playing, but it's not Kendra walking into the studio. It's Kayla. And I thought that was really interesting that they chose to use Kendra's theme music for Kayla. And it makes me wonder if they had ulterior motives already.
I mean, I feel like, well, this is so early on, though. How could they possibly? But
it's so early, but like that is Kendra's music.
Weird.
And you know, Kendra was already being really difficult for them.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they really thought, oh, this girl could be the new Kendra, or if they just wanted to scare Kendra a little bit. I don't know.
Yeah.
So Kayla comes in with, I don't know who it is. We're going to have to ask her. because I don't know if that was a boyfriend or who that right. was.
Yeah.
I forget if it was like a boyfriend or a manager. I don't remember who that guy was.
Some friend.
And Kayla explains in her interview that she's always wanted to be in Playboy. She's always wanted to look like those girls. She used to look at the girls and pick out things on them that she wanted. Like, I want her hair. I want her eyes. I feel like I used to kind of do that too a little bit. Or I'd find a girl that kind of looked a little bit like me, but better, and be like, oh, I should do my makeup like that kind of a thing. And then Kayla's getting dressed in the wardrobe room, and they have this thing where her robe slides off her butt, and they do this funny like slide whistle sound yeah. effect. Like, whoop. And Kayla just looks gorgeous in her photos. Mm-hmm. Her test photos actually were my favorite of all the photos she ended up shooting for her Playmate stuff. I just think she looks so pretty against like that black background, but we didn't use that. That set was used for so many people. Like, I don't remember who it was built for originally, but like Regina shot on it for her pictorial. Kim Kardashian shot on it. It's like that set just got a lot of use.
It was the all-purpose set.
Yeah, probably more people even tested on it and mm-hmm. stuff. And I think I'm talking about how being all natural is such a bonus for me for a Playmate. And do I say she's my favorite so far in the... I have in my notes, I go, all right, I say she's my favorite. So do I say that in the episode?
I don't have it in here so far. I mean, maybe after, but not yet.
And Kayla just looks like the favorite kind of in this scene. Like, she's such a natural.
I found it.
Okay.
Yeah, in interview, you say, I think Kayla did great. I love to see that she is all natural, because anytime we get an all natural girl who's beautiful, it's just a plus. And the readers like that even better. And the readers like that even better than someone who is more enhanced. So I think she is my favorite so far, and I hope she makes it.
Yeah, she was killing it.
And Arnie says something too. He says, the most important thing for the girl to know is to trust us. My whole crew, my makeup people are fantastic. My stylists, my assistants, they all do what they can to make you feel comfortable. And we are on their side. We're there to make them look beautiful.
Mm-hmm. So the next thing we know is I'm walking out front to greet a limo pulling up, and you guys all pile out of the limo, and you hear Hef say, Playboy Studio West.
Yeah, and it's me, Kendra, Hef, Cara Monaco, and Regina's with us too.
It's 16 minutes in and we're only just now seeing you.
That's what I wrote. 16 minutes and 49 seconds, and it's my first scene in the episode. They're
49
only,
seconds? Bridget, your stopwatch. It's back.
They're only 22 minutes long, you guys. So, like,
And I tell Cara that her pictures have taken over the studio, because I would always order like a blow up of like whoever the current Playmate of the Year was to be right when you entered the office. And then like when a new one would come along, I'd take the picture of the old one and like hang it somewhere in the back. So Kara's were like, there were a bunch of Kara in the back.
And it had been 15 years since the studio opened.
And I think Hef had only been there once, like to see it when they first opened it, which is crazy. And you know what I noticed that's weird, and I'm probably thinking way too much into this, but you know, one of my reasons for wanting to replace the old centerfolds on the wall and do new ones is I didn't want everybody to be like blonde. I wanted like some women of color up there. And they do showcase Tamara, who's Puerto Rican, but like they don't show Hiromi. They don't show Patrice. And I just feel like that's weird that they're kind of focusing in on everybody else but those. Is that weird?
Kind of. I didn't notice it.
Yeah.
But I also didn't know that you like went out of your way to do that either to acknowledge it. But it is interesting. Why wouldn't they show that?
I don't know. It's like they're focusing in on everybody else but, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe because in their mind, Playboy just isn't that still. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
It is still just the blonde girl.
Yeah. I mean, they focus in. There's a lot of brunettes on the wall, too. Like, they focus in on, like, I had Janine and Juliana up there. I don't know. I think it's weird. And, like, we've seen Patrice on the show before, so it's not like she's not a familiar face.
Right.
It's just weird. And I say that I didn't tell anyone that Hef was coming because I wanted to see everyone shit their pants.
Yeah.
And Hef literally sneaks up on Arnie. And I'm surprised Arnie didn't jump more than he did. He's like, oh, hey, Hef.
Yeah.
Because even the photographers didn't really interact with Hef that much. Like, they would get invited to the big parties, but they didn't start getting invited to, like, weekend stuff until I started putting them on the list. Because I was like, these guys should be, like, more part of the family.
Yeah.
It was interesting.
And so Hef walks up behind Arnie, scares Arnie, and Kayla's in the middle of shooting. And Hef tells her, I would come over and say hello, but I want to embarrass you. And she says, no, come over. And she jumps down and gives Hef a big hug.
And then it cuts to me in confessional, and I make a joke. I say, Kendra met Hef, and she was naked, and it worked out well for her. Do you think they're trying to set it up like there's like a flirtation here, or like she might be the next girlfriend or something?
I didn't think that, but after reviewing this episode, I feel like they definitely were. Yeah. And like you said, the hip hop music playing in this one.
Yeah.
I think that people had a whole plan that I was completely unaware of.
Yeah. I, you know, in real life, like where Hef's in my relationship was, I would have never thought that another girlfriend would ever be added or be on horizon or anything like that. But, I don't know. I just don't know what the show was thinking, because they're playing Kendra's hip hop music for Kayla coming in. And then they have that little meet cute. And then I make the comment where I'm like, oh, Kendra met Hef naked and worked out well for her, which I would never mean by that oh, something's going to happen with Kayla. I just strictly am making a joke.
Yeah.
Especially since I knew how Kevin loved to run that footage over and over of the first time Kendra met Hef.
Right.
So that's kind of where it's coming from too. But I don't know, because there was so much going on behind the scenes, like where they were planning on taking the show and thinking about replacing Kendra, and that we just didn't know about back then.
Right. I mean, we eventually do know about it, about the trying to replace her and having other girls come out.
Yeah.
But
a little bit later.
But I feel like not at this point.
No, not at all.
But there's so many cues that make me feel like somebody had it in mind.
Yeah. And even the cue of like wanting to focus more on the girls at the studio, to the point where they even want me to have like another character to bounce off of. And obviously, like, I was aware of those moving pieces because they asked me about it. But I just thought, oh, they're just, that's my storyline for Girls Next Door.
Yeah.
You know, it's just interesting. So then Kendra suggests that Hef take a picture of Kayla. So he goes to pose by her, and she goes, no, take the picture.
Yeah.
So he goes behind Arnie's camera and snaps a photo, and actually turned out good. And I think, as far as I know, it's the only playmate photo that Hef ever took of a playmate ever.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
In an interview, I say, when girls come to test, I know exactly how they feel. I know how nerve-wracking it is to be at the studio and actually taking off that robe for the first time, but it's also so exciting.
Yeah. So the next scene is Hef and I in the dining room going over test photos. I show him Melanie first, and he doesn't say anything. I show him Angel, and he says, Angela, in
person. I noticed so that, funny. Too.
Angela, in person, has the absolute best outgoing personality, perfect personality for a playmate, which I agree. And again, like, everyone loved Angel. Like, even people at the studio were, like, putting in the good word and everything.
It's interesting too. I like how they did this. Like, you show him Melanie's paperwork and an interview. They show an interview clip from Melanie. And yes. She says, if I don't get Playmate, I'll be really sad because I came all this way. But if I don't get it, it is something that will stay with me forever.
It's funny, after she says that in commentary, Kendra goes, San Diego's not that far away, girl.
Yeah, but I don't think that's what she meant.
No, I know, but it was just a funny to listen to. San Diego's not that far, girl.
Yeah, and then he looks at Angel's and talks about her personality, and then in an interview, Angela says, aka Angel, that if I make Playmate, I'll be even more nervous, but right now this is a good experience and I'm all about living for the moment, so I'm taking every opportunity I can.
And then I hand him Valerie's photos, and he doesn't say anything. But what does Valerie say?
Valerie says, to be a part of the Playboy family, that would be so awesome right now. I really just want to be a playmate.
And then I hand him Kayla's photos, and he goes, oh, this is the real platinum blonde.
Yeah. And you point to the picture that he took, and he laughs and says he's going to hire himself as a photographer.
I should hire me as a photographer.
And Kayla says, I hope my chances are good for becoming a playmate. I really hope so, but you never know, and I don't want to get my hopes up.
And I say in confessional, it would be interesting to see what happens if we don't agree on a playmate, because in my short run as a playmate editor, that hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
And then it cuts back to Hef, and he says, I think this is a potential playmate. And if you look closely, he's holding Valerie's photos. So that's what he said. They don't show him saying anything when I hand him Valerie's photos, but that's what he said when he's holding Valerie's photos. They just save it for last and we're not supposed to know who it is because you have to look real close to see that it's Valerie.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just making it suspenseful.
And then all you say, all that's left to do is to make the call.
Yeah. And it shows me with a phone in front of me in the dining room.
And did you notice it makes it look like it has Kayla's name on it and number, and it looks like you're calling Kayla?
Well, no, I think I'm not remembering this exactly, but I think I did call everyone and tell them what the deal was.
Right, but I'm just saying, like, for the show, it makes it look like you're calling Kayla to say she got it.
Oh, I see.
I took it that way anyway. I mean, yeah. You do have to look kind of close to see whose name is on that paper. But,
that's interesting.
Like, I was able to see it, and you're calling Kayla. And I was like, oh, so Kayla is getting it right now. Because I kind of forget that she didn't get it right away and stuff. And then the next thing happens is we cut to somebody in hair, makeup, and ballet slippers, and it's not Kayla.
Yeah. So surprise, surprise, it was Valerie in her ballet centerfold.
Yeah. In an interview, you say Valerie is just a really special girl. She has a unique look. She doesn't look like anybody that we've ran over the past couple of years in the magazine, and I think the readers will really like her.
Can we talk about the arrest that happened later?
Yes.
So years later, this was 2019, Valerie got arrested because she was in a car with a bunch of other people in the passenger seat. And in the door pocket in the passenger seat, they found some drugs. I forget what. So they like blamed her for it, which if somebody is doing drugs or have a drug problem, like I don't judge. Like we all have our different addictions. Some are more harmful than others. I have an issue with food. I have my McDonald's bag at my feet. You know what I mean? It's just like, I don't judge if people are like, have a problem with drugs. Like I'm not superior to people who have any kind of issue. I don't even know if she has an issue. I don't even know if those were hers. It was in a pocket next to her and she got pinned on it. I don't fucking know. Anyway, so she gets arrested for that. And it was like on TMZ or something. And Playboy, which at this point, Hef had passed away. Playboy's under new ownership. Some asshole PR person at Playboy, I need to look up what this quote was. I have a few things to say about it. First of all, and this is kind of a common thing when people just write about the women of Playboy, they describe her as Valerie was a Playmate of the Month back in September 2008. Her centerfold debut was documented on the e-reality series GND. They don't spell out girls. The e-reality series, GND, as she moved into the Playboy mansion with Holly Madison and Hugh's other girlfriends. I feel like that's so misleading because, yeah, of course, she stayed in the guest house while she shot her pictorial, but she didn't live in the house. And even if she did, every time they say that, they kind of make it sound like she's living there as a girlfriend or right, part of the orgy. So I don't really love when people do that.
Right.
And then Playboy was asked for comment, and instead of saying something supportive or just not commenting, they said, Valerie doesn't come from a modeling background. She submitted photos of herself on a whim and got recruited by Holly herself. Wait, that's not the quote. Where do I find the quote? The quote itself was like rude. Because I remember they specifically said that I pushed for her to be a Playmate. And like, I didn't have to push. Oh, here's another article. She reportedly sent pictures of herself directly to Playboy owner Hugh Hefner before he featured her in his magazine and made her one of his girlfriends. Like, she was never a girlfriend. So much misinformation.
Totally.
Oh, here we go. So Playboy was asked for a comment, and instead of not giving a comment or saying something supportive, as they should, because they would there would be no Playboy if it wasn't for all the women who posed. Have some respect. Playboy said Mason did not have a modeling background and sent photos to Playboy and Hugh Hefner herself, notes TMZ. Holly Madison pushed for her to be included in the magazine and invited her to the Playboy mansion. And I feel I was so mad when I read that because, first of all, who the fuck cares if she doesn't come from a modeling background?
Right. That's the whole thing about Playboy. You're not supposed to be like some famous
model. They were always looking for the girl next door.
Yeah.
And I hate it when people are snobby like that. Like, if you're not a model, you're not good enough. And I feel like after we left, after Playboy went through change of ownership, they went through this phase where they wanted to be like, oh, all our girls are models. And if you're not already a model, you're not good enough. It's like, okay, whatever. And saying I pushed for her to be included in the magazine, I feel like they're like, oh my God, there's a negative story about one of the Playmates. Let's push it on Holly like it's her Like this
her fault, she chose a bad apple.
Yeah, this non-model would never be part of it. And it's like, I mean, you guys can see it on the show. Like, I didn't have to push for her to be a playmate. Out of all the tests, hers was the one that looked the most like a playmate, that we thought this is the easiest person to work with. Like, she has a perfect face, great body, you know. And Hef is the final decision maker. He's looking at the four and he says, this is a potential playmate. Like, I didn't push for anything. I didn't have to.
Right.
And I just feel like that's not how you treat your people. Like, whoever was working in Playboy PR, I don't know if they're still there, probably not. But I just feel like that was a shitty, shitty answer.
Right.
Like, either don't comment or say something supportive. Like, that's not how you treat your people. You wouldn't have a fucking company if there wasn't a new girl every month posing nude.
Right.
I just think it's so rude.
Yeah, it is.
I can't. That just pissed me off so bad when I read it when that came out. I remember where I was. I was like, the kids were already up for the day and I was like checking things like in Forrest's bunk bed. And I just remember, I think I sent something to you about it because I was so pissed. I was like steaming at that comment on so many levels.
Yeah, you probably did because I remember when it was happening.
Yeah, I was just like, fuck you guys. God, you're awful. Anyway.
So in the scene, Valerie is doing her shoe and in an interview, she says she cut back on the tanning and she took out her contacts and she's kind of glad she did. She shouldn't try and be somebody that she's not. I can just be Valerie.
Yeah. And she's just like so cute. Like when I was going through scrapbook stuff for Patreon, like I found like this printout photo we had of her because she had a pet snake. So we did like a whole snake set with her and her face is just so cute. And photogenic and just so cute.
In an interview, you say, I love finding somebody new and helping their dreams come true. And I think I have a really good eye for potential. I can see what kind of features and characteristics make for a good playmate. In an interview, you say, unfortunately, Melanie did not get approved to shoot for Playmate, but she did become a cyber girl and we love her. And she's definitely part of the Playboy family. And then you say, Angel is so much fun, but I think she's more of an actress than a playmate. Unfortunately, she wasn't right for this one thing, but I think people are going to be seeing more of her.
And they did.
And then you say, for the first time, we decided that Kayla would be put on our list of potential playmates. So hopefully she will be back soon.
Yeah, she was kind of put in that file that I've mentioned before where it was like a test that didn't make it, but close enough to having potential that if you needed to revisit or like we're having trouble finding people might work out. But what actually happened is by the time this episode was cut together and aired, we would always screen the episodes at the mansion on Sunday nights. And after the episode screened, like all of Hef's friends were like, wait, what about the blonde? We thought she was going to get it. Where's the blonde? And then that changed Hef's mind. And the reason Kayla didn't get it at first wasn't because she wasn't pretty enough or anything. It was because, like, I remember clear as day when we were in the dining room looking at those photos, he was like, well, you know, she looks like a lot of other people. Because she kind of does. Like, I could kind of see, you know, she has that platinum blonde, big boob look. She reminds me of a couple other playmates already. And I remember being impressed that Hef was as open to new looks and new types and diversity as he was. Like, that was never an issue with me at the studio. It was always something I wanted to push. And I feel like as far as being inclusive, like, the hardest part was actually just finding the candidates, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because we would get a lot of the same type of people who try out, like, a lot of blondes, you know? Because people see what they see in the magazine and think, oh, I'm right for that, you know? But the only reason Kayla didn't make it was he thought she just looked like a lot of other people. And I was kind of impressed by that at the time. I was like, oh, wow. You know, you're actually looking. But she was so popular with all his friends. He's like, okay, I think we should like revisit that. And then we shot her as Playmate and her pictorial actually came out like a month before Valerie's. So it's funny how things work out.
Yeah, that's crazy. And in an interview, you say, I think the best part of being a playmate is just the honor of being one of the 12 most beautiful women of the year. So this is the start of Valerie's journey to become a playmate. She's going places.
Yay.
And then Valerie says, I think it's just really going to hit me when the magazine is actually in my hands. Then I'll be like, okay, I'm a playmate.
So exciting. Do you have a best and worst?
We talk about something in commentary. We talk about how we can't wait to make our music video for YouTube with our song.
Oh, yeah. We want to make a music video to the theme song, one of our harebrained schemes.
Yeah. And you say, let's do it at the Palms recording studio and then do a sexy photo shoot in there. And we can all do voice lessons for the show. Another episode idea that we didn't
do. That they stole.
Did they really?
Remember there was a whole episode where Crystal like did a song?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Which I think that was kind of an interest of hers because of her dad. So I don't know if that was so stolen, but they stole so many other things that let's just add it to the list.
Okay, we'll put it on the list. Yes, I did my best and worst. Okay. Worst, I'm not even in the episode.
Where are you? Where did you go?
And I feel kind of bad for Melanie.
Yeah, that was my worst too. Like overall, I love the episode, but I feel like Melanie just kind of showed up out of nowhere and I was even taken off guard and she didn't get the same. I mean, they did a good job like cutting it evenly, but I don't know. I think she just didn't get quite the same welcome and it wasn't quite the same, but at least it looked like she had a good time.
Yeah.
So that was definitely my worst, as I wish we could have handled the Melanie arrival a little better.
Yeah.
And my best is just, you know, Angel's one of my best friends still to this day. And just capturing like our first day meeting is really special. And just seeing all the girls and, you know, even like meeting Kayla for the first time. And, you know, it's just like a really special moment.
Yeah, I have that. My best is they really captured more about the girls. It's kind of like the way I would have liked them to do Playmate of the Year.
Yeah, they finally got it down.
Yeah.
I felt like they did a really good job capturing everybody.
Yeah, I think they could have even gone a little further. Mm-hmm. Like, I would like to see a picture of their hometown or, like, you know, something. But it got better. And I felt like people could really root for them. I mean, even totally. Me rewatching it, even though I know – I actually didn't have the outcome quite right in my head, but like who got it and who didn't mm-hmm. get it and why some people were delayed and that kind of thing. But I felt like I was rooting for them. So I feel like as somebody who's watching it is probably rooting for them too. Mm-hmm. And seeing the friendship and the bond and like kind of being nostalgic about my first experience too. Like I feel like I really liked the episode.
Me too. Yeah. I felt like they finally did it where we finally get to know people and we're rooting for somebody.
Yeah. But are they doing it out of necessity? Because Kevin knows we need fresh blood. So he's like, we really got to introduce some new girls here. We got to get people getting to know them more.
Maybe, but whatever gets them to do it.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I love that episode. If you'd like more content, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/girlsnextlevel. Check out our merch at girlsnextlevel.shop. And we'll see you guys next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye.